Welcome to The Ether. Today is Thursday, March 17th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the Lunatic community. Visit OC's What We Do page using the link in the show notes to take advantage of some of their other educational resources, including weekly meetups to discuss Terra protocols, strategies, and concepts, the Terra Luna Intel Report on Telegram, and YouTube explainer videos on Terra concepts. You can also support their community efforts by considering them next time you're delegating or redelegating your Luna. Find out more at orbitalcommand.io. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. Today on The Ether, the Anarchist NFT, Prism Protocol, CeFi, and AMA, the future of DeFi. Let's take a listen.
Hello, hello. Give us a moment here and we'll get everybody in the space. Happy Thursday. Jimmy, I'll bring you up as a speaker.
Hello, hello.
Hey, welcome everybody.
Hey guys, we were already kind of hanging out in spaces this afternoon already.
I saw that.
When are you not in spaces?
Yeah, anytime like I can take, like my work lets me get away, then I just kind of hang out if I have time.
Our anarchist account, the emojis, the reacts changed. I've got a purple heart now. I feel very fierce.
Oh, hello. All right, just shared it to my timeline. And yeah, Seffy's been doing marathons lately. I don't think he does any real work. I think he just like talks on Twitter and somehow makes money.
I don't know another version of Seffy. I've always known him to be this machine.
That's what's good if you have a lot of people that work for you. It's like, you're like, yeah, that looks good. And then you kind of go on with your day.
Living the life, sir.
Yeah, I'm still waiting to hear what, like, you know, SJ and Doe messaged me. They're like, oh, like, you know, do you want to work for us in some way? I'm like, I kind of have a job. Like, but I kind of was replying back. We're going to chat a little bit, but I kind of replied back. Well, I'm sort of already independently have a job. I have like, I'm independently wealthy already. It's not really, I'm not too worried about making a buck, but you know, if I can help out in some way, you know, let me know. So they're going to just chat and we'll see what they want to do. I have no idea. We'll see.
Yeah, you have your own minions and collectively we're all Doquan's minions.
Exactly. So that's basically what's going on here. It's a minions show. Exactly. It's like minions upon minions.
There's a little bit of Doquan in all of us.
Yeah, apparently.
I just love watching his responses to people. Like, he's brutally honest and it's hilariously perfect. Like, I saw one today. Someone's like, oh, I couldn't withdraw my money from Anchor. And his reply is, you're using it wrong. Just flat out, you're using it wrong.
It's funny. Yeah, actually, his personality reminds me a lot of the Guildmaster for Fires of Heaven and EverQuest. like, it's a video game guy that, and actually the Doe's personality was like, that's the closest I could get. And we were successful. We were the most powerful guild in the world at the time. And, that personality like is very, very like close to like Doe's mindset. I don't know why they're so similar, but it's the second person I've ever like interacted with who I felt like had that same vibe. And like so the and there was something very successful about that vibe. So go figure. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, it works for him, so why not?
Hey, hey. Okay, I want to just set the room here. So we have Prism Protocol, and we're repping for Prism Protocol. We've got Jimmy here. We also got Ryan Lyon. Ryan was the receiver of a small Twitter raid not too long ago, and we were just thinking you're pretty awesome. So apologize.
Was that an orchestrated thing? Like, I was just looking.
It was like semi orchestrated, and I shut it down real quick when you're like, "Who are all these people?" I was like, "Hey, it's us." So semi orchestrated, but hey, we were just big fans. So
that's pretty funny. I kept like seeing in my notifications people like Anarchist NFT are gonna like collab with Prism. Like, you need to get involved. I was like, I've got no idea.
We're here now. So
I wasn't really planning on joining this. So I'm currently walking my dog, so I'll probably leave most of the talking to Jimmy.
Not a problem. Thanks for joining. And thanks, Jimmy here. We got Seffy, we got Deployden, and MetaMay. And we also got Terra Spaces in here recording, so that's exciting. I really wanted to bring our community together. We're very passionate about the Terra ecosystem. Our team actually came from Solana, and we had a lot of issues, and Deployden was the one who started showing us all the great things about Terra. And that's what caused sort of this mass exodus from Solana over to Terra. So obviously when it comes to the protocols and everything that's available, we really wanted to make sure that our community had an understanding of the different protocols, and Prism has been doing incredible things. So as we're launching a DAO as well, I think it's important for people to be, you know, able to make informed decisions and also be able to put up proposals when it comes to the DAO. So that's why I wanted to introduce our community to you, and also ourselves to Prism too, because we're in the same family here at this point, and I can see us working alongside each other for quite some time moving forward.
Cool. Have you guys thought so? Now, I didn't get any sort of preview of what this discussion was going to be sort of centered around. So maybe we'll start kind of from scratch. How did you decide to kind of hop on with the Prism gang, and like, are you guys working on something together or have some vision together with your NFT project or your DAO? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I'll let Deployden take the reins there, because he's really like the head when it comes to our utility and finance and development, and the one that was really spearheading us moving over to Terra and introduced us to Prism.
Yeah, I mean, nothing specific in terms of any specific like partnerships or anything we're hoping to do specifically, but as we are operating a DAO that is going to be allocating funds in different protocols for yield, we did think it would be great for a lot of the community to get a good understanding of what Prism is. Like, I've been in the Discord quite a bit lately and kind of educating our side as to what's going on with Prism, kind of what its benefits are. I've had a few people actually ask me to I can't remember the exact thing that they said, but they said, call out Seffy on his P Luna pushing. Apparently you're driving P Luna up or something. I think the general thing was just to kind of understand deeper of kind of where it's at now. Like, I know you guys added charts yesterday, finally, which is awesome. And kind of the growth of as to what you're doing next. Like, I know there's plans of different assets to be refracted. Is there any actual plans for P Luna? Like, I understand.
Let's start at the beginning though, because I just want to make you know, when we get into these spaces, and I'll be honest, you know, getting into crypto and getting into NFTs, and then also these protocols, it could be very intimidating. I'm grateful for the community that we have that has helped to onboard a lot of people. But Jimmy, maybe you can give us kind of the grassroots explanation on Prism, why it was launched, and really what made it, you know, makes it different from other protocols and sort of the mechanisms that are at play here, just to start off, and then we can get into, I know we got some big brains in here. We're going to get into some pretty complex shit. So, but I would love to start with some of the basics for the people in the room here who are just getting introduced to Prism.
Yeah, totally. Let's do that. Yeah, we'll start with like very, very basics on why, you know, even Prism exists, right? And I think like when people are first introduced to the Terra ecosystem, I think other than Luna the coin and UST, I think the protocol that attracts the most attention is Anchor, right? It's essentially the best stable interest that you can receive on UST. And obviously, like, it's attracted quite a lot of UST. I think like 70% of all the UST that's ever been minted is like sitting in Anchor right now. And for like projects like yourself coming onto Terra, I think like Anchor is just a phenomenal way for you guys to run just your DAO operations, right? You don't have to worry too much about all the intricacies and moving money around in your multi-sig all the time. It's just like, it's there, the yield is there. There's plenty in reserve for many, many months to come. And it lets you guys kind of focus on your art and your community, right? So that's like kind of the benefit I see for DAOs coming on. And of course, like as a protocol ourselves, we most protocols are take advantage of Anchor in some fashion on the Terra ecosystem. And besides UST, if folks want to actually take part in the value capture of the growth of UST, right, you've got to have some Luna. And one of the ways that Luna also generates yield is via the staking rewards. And there's plenty of different normal staking rewards, and I'll kind of just quickly walk through a few of them, and then lastly we can get to Prism and why Prism essentially exists. The super vanilla version of not only having exposure to Luna, but also earning staking yields is just, you know, staking it on Terra Station, choosing a validator, and just getting, I think it's probably around like 8 or 9%. I can't remember exactly. But yeah, you'll receive like 8 or 9%. But then there's other protocols that are built on top of this this platform that essentially makes it perhaps a little bit easier or gives it a little bit more utility, right? So for Anchor, you can bond your Luna and it creates B-Luna, which essentially behind the scenes is selling all your staking rewards and you're just getting UST. So if you hold B-Luna in your wallet, you're getting, you know, some amount of UST that you can just claim on the platform. The cool thing about B-Luna is also you can use it as collateral to borrow UST on Anchor. Another form of, I guess, like you would call liquid staking for Luna is from Lido Finance called Stake Luna. So you can just purchase or swap into Stake Luna, and it's always receiving that 8 or 9% APR. And there's like a little cool Luna APR bot out there that you can kind of check out. It updates once every, I think once every 5 or 6 hours or something like that on the latest yields. So those are a few of the liquid staking solutions. But when you have these staking solutions, a lot of the times with like B-Luna, you're kind of weighing two options. I think like Seffy talks about this a lot, where sometimes he wants to keep some of it naked to you know, just collect some of the UST, but sometimes he needs it to deposit into B-Luna to take care of his anchor position or to borrow more. And he's always making this decision between like, oh, when do I want the yield and when do I want to use it as collateral, right? So with Prism, we've kind of split up the use cases of Luna. One part is essentially representing, say, the principal or the price of the token. And then the other piece of the token, the yield component, gives you access to the staking reward and the income that Luna provides. So with Prism, you're able to stake and refract one Luna with us, and we'll give you two equal parts, one P Luna, one Y Luna. Currently with the P Luna, you can hold it, you can trade it, speculate, you can LP with it. And then for Y Luna, you can stake it in our normal staking, where you'll receive your normal staking rewards. And then we also have an event going on right now called the Prism Farm, where we're rewarding folks with 13% of our Prism tokens. And it's going on for a year. We've only been active for about, I think, like less than 2 weeks or so. And currently base yields are around like 40%, and through some other boosting complex mechanisms we can get into later if you want. People are seeing, you know, 60, 70, sometimes over 100 something percent APRs on Luna, which is about, you know, it could be more than 10 times your normal staking rewards. But yeah, so that's in a nutshell, Terra, Luna, all the kind of like staking options that we have, and Prism in a nutshell.
And kind of the way I look at this too, is, let's say you're a DAO or an individual or investor or whatever, you're asking yourself ultimately, do I want, you know, price exposure risk, which would be something that's a volatile asset like Luna that goes up and down? Would I, am I comfortable with the yield that that provides while being exposed to that price exposure risk? Or do I want UST, which doesn't have the price exposure risk, but also doesn't have the growth potential, obviously, because it's a stable. In fact, it's kind of subject to inflation. And so technically it's like going down in value over time. And then, you know, you can put it in an anchor and earn the yield, like you said. So, you know, you're, if you think of it as a, you know, assets in a treasury, like a DAO, maybe the next question would be like, if you're forming a DAO or have one, it's sort of like, what do you need the money for? So if it's to pay employees, that's one type of requirement, right? Or if you need to buy additional assets, what portion of your treasury do you intend to actually leave earning you something versus like what portion, you know, do you think you're going to need for revenue, for cash flow, for the actual business? Or if you're an individual, you know, like if you're living off your crypto, then, you know, how much you're going to need to pay the bills and such. Is, these are the kind of important questions that you have to ask yourself.
So, I mean, with our structure, we're minting, by the way, on the 21st. So we haven't formed the DAO yet. Deployment can also talk a little bit about our strategy. We're likely going to have like at least a month buffer between mint and then forming the DAO. In that time, so 35% of mint revenue goes towards the DAO, 15% goes towards the treasury. We're going to keep those funds possibly together. I mean, Deployden would be able to speak on this during that time. But the way we see it is the treasury is essentially like a team business wallet. So if there's something for marketing or things like that, then that's the treasury. But the DAO is really for, you know, the objective is to increase that and be able to put it towards various different investments. So Deployden, I'll let you kind of speak of what you envision it, but obviously then it really comes down to what the community would like to see. But I think that we could probably kind of just play with a few ideas to kind of give people an idea as to what it is that they could potentially see in proposals coming up.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what I kind of repeat a lot on a lot of different spaces is people would ask, oh, I mean, what's going to be different with your DAO compared to others? And my answer is always the same thing. It's, I mean, what do you want to do differently with it? I mean, I'm not the DAO. Psych's not the DAO. The anarchist team is not the DAO. The community and all the holders is the DAO, and they're going to be the ones putting out votes and proposals. So in regards to like Prism in itself, a lot of it is speculative, and yeah, like if we do want to maximize yield, we can stick to Y Luna. The underlying price exposure of P Luna is, I mean, that's what a lot of the debates are right now on Twitter, with that whole P Luna DAO to kind of hold them all hostage as well. There's a lot of, I see a lot of the arguments going back and forth in regard to perpetual contracts that have no expiry don't really have a value. But I also see the other side where I think it might have been you talking about it, Safi, about people holding P Luna can kind of vote as to where the underlying Luna gets staked. And for validators themselves, that's a great way, eventually, if that comes out, for a validator to kind of boost their underlying staked amounts to bring them into the top validating sets without needing to purchase a full Luna. So they can do it at, I think right now, almost a fifth of the price. I think we're at around $19-$20. So me personally, I'm a little on both sides. I can see both sides of it. I mean, I hold both Y Luna and P Luna to back it up. But I do trade back and forth on P Luna anytime it goes sub 13. It just seems to be a no-brainer to scoop that up. But as a DAO fund in itself, yeah, we're going to ultimately aim to educate our community as much as possible. We love the fact that it is kind of, in a sense, a distributed VC fund where we get the minds of everybody else and everybody's opinion and inputs as to what they think and kind of bounce ideas back and forth as to what we want to do. So I guess the next question is there... Or I guess, what's the next steps with P Luna? Is there eventual plans for it to even be used as collateral on something like Anchor itself? Or is there going to be other utility for it? I mean, I'm not too sure how much you guys can speak to it on that regard today, but curious.
Oh, you want alpha? Okay.
We got serious real quick. I knew it was going to happen.
That's kind of put that in there.
All the things. Yeah. So, yeah, I totally agree that, you know, just with the nature of our launch and our, you know, the way that things have rolled out, Y Luna has gotten a lot of the attention and a lot of the value capture, right? Especially with like some of the yields that we're seeing so far. And one of the things that we've been kind of eyeing is to allow folks to use P Luna as collateral. Man, Hyperion's not awake, probably. He's like doing something. I don't know if I can say any of these things, but oh well, here we go. So
I think you were named as our chief leaking officer in one of the prison posts recently, which
and what's
is
that
pretty,
saying? Did you lose?
Yeah, so there's two money markets right now that could potentially be available for P Luna. Number one is Edge. And Edge kind of interesting because they have a bunch of assets that you don't see anywhere else on the Terra ecosystem, right? So like with Anchor, you know, you only see the ETH, the Luna, and soon we're going to have, you know, AVAX on there as well. And then on the Fields of Mars, we only have, I think, UST and Luna as possible collateral deposits, right? Well, actually Anchor and Mirror as well. But Edge is a bit more flexible on what kind of assets that they can essentially accept. So we've kind of been in chats with them to see how we can make it work and just eyeing out all of the risks and the parameters to make sure that it's safe for not only our asset, protecting it from any price manipulation, but also other assets that might be shared in the pool as well, right? So it's something that we're working on with the Edge team closely, and I think we're getting there. I don't have like a time frame on when you'll see P Luna as collateral, but you should definitely keep an eye out for announcements between our team and the Edge team on that regard. As far as strategies with Mars, there's something that we haven't exactly quite fully architectured out or kind of gotten too far in the weeds on, but one of the potential strategies that we've seen with the Field of Mars is, say you can, I think right now, like on say like the Anchor or the Anchor UST or Mirror UST pairs, you're essentially depositing one asset and you can borrow UST from Red Bank to essentially lever up on your LP positions, right? So we would want to be able to enable something exactly like that for our normal Y Luna staking pool. So you can deposit, doesn't really fall into like the whole, you know, P Luna collateral thing, but definitely falls into the whole money market discussion. Where you can deposit Luna and then you can borrow additional Luna from the Red Bank, and they'll essentially refract it and let you leverage the Y Luna staking. So not exactly what the parameters on that might be, but it'd kind of be really cool if you could
say like double your Wiluna stake, like double your regular Wiluna stake in rewards. But yeah, that's just like some ideas on collateral, but I'm sure there's like a lot of other things that we can chat about too regarding Pluma, but I'll stop there.
Jimmy, there was some buzz at some point about the possibility of using maybe Wiluna on Kinetic also, right? Or is that not a theoretical possibility?
Oh, no, yeah. That's something that that's something that we're looking at collaborating with as well. So Kinetic's coming out soon here. I think it's 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks away, right, from their initial lock drop. And then there's another week or so for the lock drop phase. But I'll just quickly go over like Kinetic for folks that aren't too aware of it. But essentially, the Alchemex protocol built on Terra and built on top of Anchor protocol as well. So folks will be able to, it'll enable people to deposit their UST, take out a loan at say 50% of that deposit, and you're essentially taking out a self-repaying loan. So you're taking whatever yield you might have gotten in the future and you're tokenizing that and getting it out now. So like say for example, you deposit 1,000 UST, you can take out their synthetic stablecoin as a loan called KUST, and say you can take out say like $500. And then your thousand UST is put into Anchor. It goes to work and pays off your KUST loan automatically. So you never have to worry about like your liquidation price or anything like that. It just time is your only debt in that for Kinetic. And then one of the cool things that we kind of posited with the Kinetic team is like, hey, what if you guys allow us to also deposit Wiluna into Kinetic, such that the staking yields from Wiluna can all be swapped and to help pay back the loan even quicker. And to give you an idea on like timelines, if you take out a 50% loan on Kinetic and it was only giving you the Anchor, like it was only repaying your loan at the Anchor rate, it would take about, I think, 3 years for you to pay back 50% loan to value. But because they have like this interesting mechanism called the phaser, which is essentially like, it's like the protocol is giving up their UST and helping everyone pay their loans back even faster. So based on some of the numbers I've seen, you're probably going to get like double Anchor's rate on your loan repayment, right? So let's say 40% or so. And that gives you a loan repayment time of around like 18 months. So that's just with Kinetic alone, right? So you can think of additional Wiluna in this Kinetic vault as a boost to that 18 month. So it just depends on like how much Wiluna you have and how much you want to deposit and what the current like yields are at the moment. I don't know. Like if you're Sefi, maybe your 50% loan could get repaid back in like a month or something, which is like absolutely insane when you think about it. And then like for a DAO, if you have a bunch of Wiluna, if you have a bunch of UST, you can essentially use this mechanism to pay the team or pay
Jimmy,
for.
Jimmy, you're getting rugged a little bit. I don't know if you can find a place with a better Wi-Fi or connection. I just want to give you a heads up.
Yeah, you're kind of so-so, yeah.
I just want to make sure that everybody catches this because it's really good. You know, that's the question too. You know, for an individual getting into this, you know, on your own, you're probably gonna keep things pretty safe, but as a DAO, we can afford maybe something that's a little bit more medium risk with higher yield. Let's say if we want to, because we're gonna, you know, with fully minting out, we've got about $100,000 that will be given to the DAO. So with that, to be able to maximize that and to grow that, you know, a lot of collections used to mint out with like 10K, and they would have a lot more when it came to funds to contribute to the DAO. As we're looking at around 100,000, just wanted to make sure that, you know, we could kind of talk about some strategies that would maybe be like a little bit more like medium risk, but possibly higher yield. But I know
maybe, Jimmy, you know, maybe you could clarify one point, because I'm not sure we talked about this yet, but it's the question of, so you're minting what, and that acquisition of like that NFT as a member of this DAO is doing what for you, the NFT owner? Are you getting some yield as an NFT owner from the strategies deployed by the DAO? Or like, how does that look from an investor standpoint? That probably helps us figure out like how to structure the components in the DAO, like such that it provides the yield you think you're going to want.
To put in, I'll let you take this. I think it depends on what the community votes on. You know, if they vote that they want to have, if they want to receive, you know, part of the rewards as like an airdrop, then that's one thing. Or to reinvest it and to continue to grow the DAO. It was actually interesting when you put a vote out today, even just for a giveaway for a holder snapshot, that it seemed like a lot of our community, not a lot, but there was actually a few people within there that said, you know, rather than spending it, let's just keep it in the, you know, keep the funds in the fund to invest. So I know that there's quite a few people who are frugal, but excited about the idea of being able to grow this and maybe postponing some, you know, holder rewards or airdrops in order to prioritize growing the fund to a
certain
amount.
So I think I know what you're saying, but the ownership, your stake in the DAO comes from buying a minted NFT. Is that correct?
Yeah. So votes, when you own an anarchist, then you are part of the DAO and then can put up a vote. I'll let Deployed and continue on that conversation of how we're going to format that. But that gives you the ability to vote as well and to put up proposals.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's kind of like a hybrid approach where initially, so one thing we did say is we're aiming to probably start that DAO up within 30 days. That kind of helps kind of rebalance the holders, because of course with any NFT there are the group of people who buy 10 of them hoping just to sell them. So we're going to let that dust settle a little bit. And then we're going to be doing a couple things where, one, we're going to be using it to constantly buy up the floor ones in order to give those away as giveaways. But two, a lot of it is going to be up to the community as to how we vote and what we do with that. So we want to do things where we maintain the community engagement moving forward after the NFT launch. We see not so much on Terra. The Terra side is really good. We actually had a space earlier with the Crunks, and they minted 5-6 months ago. They're still going strong. So it's really good to see that on the Terra side. I know on like the Ethereum side, you don't really get a lot of that. You get a lot of the build up to mint, the hype, mint, and then it kind of fades away. And kind of starting this community fund is kind of something that lets us maintain this growth and everything else we do. We do have plans for other partnerships that are launches that will all kind of be a part of this, where we're not starting a second project. We're kind of bringing it together into one. So,
yeah. And I'm not particularly an expert in like the different structures of these things, but we interviewed a group called like 777 Casino, and I'm not advocating going and playing casino games on that right now necessarily. I'm just saying we just talked with them, and they had an NFT mint, and what they had was a business model essentially where revenue from the casino business basically went to the holders of the NFTs. But the way they minted them, they had a fixed number of NFTs, let's say 10,000, and you had a fixed amount of money that it took to buy one. And then what happened was that any NFTs that were not sold for that fixed amount got burned. And that way, the people that bought into it, if less people got into the this game, then what ends up happening is they have a bigger ownership of the final revenue, because the revenue from the DAO was sort of shared amongst the remainder. And it served kind of a couple of purposes. One is, you, the investor, you know that when you buy $100 worth of this NFT, that you knew that, okay, the worst case, it would be this much dilution because this is how much NFTs there are. And if it turns out that not as many buyers came in, well, fine, that's no big deal. You just got more revenue afterwards. And I'm not saying that, you know, that system's going to work necessarily. It was just interesting. The buyer of the NFT has to be considered like a buyer of as an investor, because as soon as you say it's a DAO, it's different than, say, buying artwork. You're basically assuming or presuming that you're going to be part owner of like a company at some point that's going to earn something, which is why you're sort of throwing money into it, unless you just simply want to throw money in a group of people and let them have fun with it, right? So ultimately, I think it's a good idea as a group to like put forward proposals that really are clearly investor friendly. And I think that's going to get you a lot more engagement. And to the extent that the people that are buying these are like, oh, everyone else should get them too, because there is some benefit to the holder. So my thought would be, and just again, this is just me talking out loud, is you almost want to have some concept where something hits a person's wallet from the NFT, you know, every month, which then creates its own engagement, right? Because if you have nothing coming in, you park it there, you forget about it. Maybe you show up in the Discord, maybe you don't. But if you have something coming every day, even if it's some small amount, then a person can say, hey, look, I'm getting, you know, X amount a month or something from this. And look, it worked out well for me. And if a person wants to sell that, like let's say it's in the form of UST, they want to spend it on something, well, great, they can. If, you know, it comes in the form of a token, where the value of the token goes up in value, like an X-Prism token is a great example, that's a slightly different style of project, where the value is accrued in the actual price of a coin, for example. So there's all these different ways, mechanisms to build these things. But then once you sort that out, then you can go, okay, well, all right, like what proportion should I put into, like, you know, B Luna just emitting UST? What proportion should I put into Y Luna and get yield off that, et cetera, et cetera?
I think, you know, of the collections that I think we've really admired as to what it is that they've done, Galactic Punks has done this extremely well. I think they have a good combination of making investments to really grow the DAO, but then also partnerships, being able to negotiate those partnerships in order to get holder rewards as well. I know that we have Financial Fungi up here. I just want to give you a chance to speak real quick, and then Deployed In, if you can respond to that.
Yep.
Cryptographer, you there? Oh, you're a speaker.
We're live.
The stage is yours. Or we can come back to you if you'd like. We can do that. All right, Deployed In.
I think it's, if I can just interject, it's quite interesting. I was going to ask the question, like, are you inspired by any other DAOs, or particularly NFT DAOs that have popped up on either Terra or other networks? And it's interesting that you mentioned Galactic Punks, because I think that's the obvious and most successful one that we've seen so far. And they've done a really, really good job of growing their treasury. It's interesting to Seffi's point about, you know, output from that. I would say, you know, what I've seen so far from that particular DAO is that I don't think there's been any value output outside of them recycling some of their treasury and Galactic Punks and airdropping those two stakers to their validator. And I thought it was really interesting because Galactic Punks invested in Prism Forge, and they actually put up a vote to say, okay, well, we're going to invest X amount of dollars into Prism and stake it as X Prism. What do you want? Well, firstly, do you want to do that? Which they voted fairly unanimously to do, which was fantastic and a really confidence booster for Prism as a protocol. But they also actually decide, you know, the question was, do we stake the Prism
and have it as an appreciating asset in our treasury, or do we distribute it to Galactic Punks holders? And at least the original vote was that they keep it in the treasury and allow it to grow. So it was quite an interesting decision, because I think, you know, the natural instinct is that people would want to, you know, get as much value from holding their punk as they can.
That's exactly what I mean. You know, when we're looking at these collections, like if we're looking at a collection, and yeah, you could just vote, you know, put up a proposal and then also vote to get those holder rewards. But wouldn't it be so much better? And I actually think that Terra community is very cognizant of this and very financially aware that, you know, it probably makes more sense at the beginning to prioritize more yield and get the treasury or the DAO to a limit where, you know, then it makes sense to take some rewards. It's a financially responsible sort of way to do that, or else you're just going to completely deplete the funds. And then, you know, bye guys.
Yeah. I would say if your situation is such that like the NFT mint and the number of possible people that can enter is somewhat limited, then yes, I think if people vote to grow the DAO first, it makes perfect sense. If it's a type of system that's open-ended, where there's like a limitless number of people that can enter, which, you know, that's a very different enterprise, essentially, then you'd want to know as the holder, wait, like, okay, are they going to dilute this into oblivion at some point? You know, I think whatever is done, as long as it's like consistent, there is some game plan and maybe like a roadmap to determine like, if certain growth targets get hit, you know, what do we want to do for our people? You know, because some people look at an NFT-based project with a DAO as, let's say, an investment from the perspective of the NFT going up in value. Other people look at it, you know, some people are looking at like the so-called utility NFT, where you get some kind of yield off of it or it has some function. And then, you know, other people just look at it, well, okay, I love the art that these people are producing, and the way you look at the NFT and buying it and the DAO's treasury as a way to fund a group of artists who continue to make me cool stuff, right? It just depends on the ethos that you build, in my view. Like any one of these things can work. You just have to be consistent and like make sure you deliver on what you're saying you're going to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think you guys touched on a lot of the different points. So, and in regards to Galactic Punks, I think they announced this week that they have their staking thing coming soon. I know Luna Bulls announced the other day that they just did a partnership with, oh, the name escapes me right now, but they're basically airdropping a lot of those coins to the Luna Bull holders as well. So what we're hoping to do, and this is the beauty of what Terra is, and one of the things I really loved when I was talking to Psych and Metame about this was, technically, yeah, we can get to the point where we're fully sustained, where the DAO is generating enough yield where we can give away a lot of that yield and not burn the funds. But one thing that we can do that's really cool is maybe this week when you're staking, if we vote down that path to go down the route of let's do direct staking, if you stake your NFT, maybe this week you're going to earn Tesla stock paid out through Mirror, or maybe you can get Google stock. So because there's all these options of the ways we can handle the yield, we can pay it out in many different ways. So it is definitely going to be more of a hybrid approach where, like we said, the first 30 days or so, we're keeping that in the main treasury fund where it's going to be combined with the DAO funds, where we are simply going to go for maximum yield, minimized risk to generate as much as possible for a lot of the initial giveaways, a lot of the partnerships. We love the idea of doing partnerships with up and coming protocols, similar to what Galactic Punks did, where they were part of that seed round with Talus, and then their plan was to airdrop that to a lot of the holders. Obviously, the level of what that can be done to kind of varies depending on how much is actually in that pool. Of course, we don't want to go do something, blow 90% of the yield on something and then airdrop to everybody and then have almost nothing left in the fund. So I know we're doing some giveaways the first week, like nothing overly crazy, but a lot of the yield is going to be generating enough to maintain that without burning the underlying value. And then we want to leave a lot of the route we go down up to the community and holders. I know right now on our website, because the NFT space and kind of the structure of DAOs is a very, very fine line in terms of security laws and how all that works. You can't directly say, oh, you're a shareholder in this DAO, because the securities laws don't allow that. So the way we've kind of positioned it is we're going to vote a lot of this in. And one kind of clause we do have on our website is, if it does come down to the point where, let's say there is additional regulations that come out and somehow, some way, we can no longer operate in the way we are, our plan is to essentially dissolve the DAO and equally share that with every single NFT holder. So we do have that sort of exit clause in the event that somehow, some way, it cannot operate any further. But we don't see that happening for a long time coming. Like, you see a lot of these countries pushing forward with a lot of very, very favorable crypto regulations. But we wanted to kind of cover all bases in that weird event, as ultimately our team is doxxed. So it is out there. Like, we do see a lot of teams operating DAOs and doing things that, or even the wordage is less than ideal in the terms of the law. But
if I can interject, you know, with what you were saying, Safi, is like having a roadmap and saying, you know, making a promise that there will be, yield or, you know, rewards sent to holders. We have to be very careful when it comes to the way that we talk about that, which is also why
you're trying not to sell a security, basically.
Here's the reality is, this is also why, as much as we can speculate also, and this is why I'm saying, you know, in theory, if we have these funds, what are kind of some of the plays that potentially the DAO can, you know, put up as proposals? Because at the end of the day, it is up to the DAO. We can't make a promise that every single month or every single week, you're going to be getting a certain amount of yield or an airdrop or reward. It needs to be something that is decided through the DAO. And that protects the community, and that protects the team too, so that we don't overstep and compromise ourselves. And also, this is why, you know, Deflaton said that we even have a disclaimer on our website, and that's something that we haven't seen with really any of the NFT collections. But we really have to be careful, especially as we dive into this Terra ecosystem and take advantage of these different protocols and opportunities, that the community is safe, that we stay within our legal the legal boundaries.
Pretty much the way you can look at this is that, okay, so yeah, I think I see where you're getting at, since if you're doxxed, then it's a little bit different. Then in that circumstance, what I would think about is doing exactly what you're saying, is basically promise nothing. If the community decides to do something with, you know, funds, et cetera, then, you know, make that a secondary component. And then if you have a system that ultimately delivers, say, yield via NFTs, via airdrops or otherwise, and it's via some kind of smart contract, whereas you are technically, like you said, it's a vote, and then there's a smart contract and the machine is just spitting out money to people, then it's not your problem at that point. You didn't do it. Like, that's how you ultimately, like, you know, it's basically like an automated system just like throwing money at people at some point. And, you know, you can sort of brush up, you know, wipe your hands and say, well, I don't know how it happened. Like, it just, like, you know, it just did.
Yeah, the security law defines it as the promise of expected profit back from the beginning. So if we put this up saying you are promised you're getting this back, but the way we saw it is, if we kind of have this fund and then these plans get voted in after the fact, it's not an initial promise of return on profit. It's something that has been decided on by everybody that holds it. So we based off like how we were understanding these security laws, that kind of allowed us to navigate a little bit better by kind of giving it in the hands of everybody. But we also did put that disclaimer up, and it's more so if all else fails, like if somehow, some way, NFTs become super regulated and they start cracking down on DAOs and like all that, like I think there's going to be bigger problems if that starts happening, truthfully. But
ultimately, it belongs to our community. We would never take a hold of that. But this is why we are holding spaces like this with other collections, with other people in the space who are super knowledgeable, and also with other protocols, to really build that bridge between the you know, what's possible within the space, and also the NFT community as well, because right now we have so many, those two worlds are obviously so intertwined, and it's important, especially if the DAO made up of our community members are the ones that are going to be putting up these proposals, for us to have really in-depth and honest conversations about what we can do, what's possible, and also how to approach it in a safe, you know, way, that, you know, will benefit the community and everybody involved while, you know, being safe.
Hey guys, can you hear me?
Yeah, you're good. Yeah.
Hey, Safiya, I'm curious, you know, for the benefit of like most of the folks here, as well as the anarchists, if you were starting your own DAO and you had like, say, low six figures from a collection that you just minted, knowing what you know, how would you deploy those funds if, you know, you could just go full dictator?
Sure.
Dictatorship of the funds.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think, so this is what we've been covering quite a bit with a lot of the different ideas we've spoken about. The first thing you need is an asset. Your primary store of value asset is something with an extraordinarily low chance of going to zero. Okay, so the it's basically a non-zero asset, as I call it. An example of that in the traditional world would be gold, and the example of that in the crypto world would be something like Bitcoin. It'd be something like what I think Luna has become. And so that's the first thing, because if you have your assets go to zero, well, then now you're just sort of screwed and everyone's, you know, like upset. So that doesn't work. So it can't just be any old asset. And it can't necessarily be like your own asset. Like, for example, like let's say I'm Ohm. I can't just hold a bunch of Ohm and that's going to work. That's just not going to work. So it has to be some sort of store of value. So once you've got that decided, and in this case on Terra, you know, Luna makes sense. Just because it's number one, it's readily available. It's readily convertible to UST, and it has decent yield just natively on its own. So it makes sense as a treasury asset. I think it makes sense as a treasury asset for any treasury. You know, even on other chains, other DAOs, I don't think it matters who it is at that point. The plus side of Luna over BTC would be that it has a native yield on top of the fact that it has a lot of growth days ahead of it, in my opinion. So that helps as well. What else? So, and then when you add Luna to a DAO, it also benefits the Terra ecosystem as well. So you're sort of engaging lunatics who are like, yeah, it's good if, you know, our own DAOs, our own protocols are incorporating more Luna, creating more holding pressure. So it creates a kind of nice little marketing circle, in a sense. You're like a true lunatic. So if I was sort of picking, I would say probably 80%. If I was just, well, let me just look at like what I'm doing personally. I would say 80 to 90% could be Luna in that context or some derivative of it. So I think, you know, like let's say I had 90% Luna. I had, you know, let's say 5% of it was refracted. It was Y Luna. And then I had another chunk of it that was, say, Prism token to sort of boost my Y Luna. That makes sense to me. And then, like, what do you do, you know, with volatility in this context? You could basically take the proportion of Y Luna down further. You could maybe keep 20%, say, on Anchor and UST. You could use that either to fund some operations if you need to do so, or you could use that UST to dollar cost average into more Luna, because like just because you buy Luna today doesn't mean it necessarily isn't going to go down some. An option of what to do with your Luna, well, you get a higher yield from it either on Prism or on Nexus's and Luna Vault, where it's basically being deployed on Anchor and it's giving you better yield than native Luna. And then it's auto compounding into more and Luna, which is pretty cool. So Spectrum Protocol has a auto compounder vault for that now, which is interesting. Additionally, like some other products are coming out. We talked to Neptune. We talked to Nexus. I'm having a thing with them on Monday where they're like completing a grid bot for me that kind of we designed together. I sort of gave them an idea and they just sort of been building it. But ultimately, rebalancer bots are actually an interesting DAO tool where you could have, like, for example, 20% UST, 80% Luna, or the other way around. Like, you could have 80% Luna, 20% UST. Think of it like an LP, but asymmetric. And then you can sort of weigh your risk, and then the trading bot automatically, every time Luna goes up, it sells some and buys some UST, or vice versa. Rebalancing bots is something they're working on at Nexus as well. All of these kind of tactics would be deployed based on what the goals of the particular DAO were. So a grid bot, for example, extracts UST, and it basically extracts it as profit. So if you feel like, okay, you need to have UST revenue coming in to either pour into Anchor to earn the yield and then like build that, or have UST revenue coming in that's Anchor independent, just in case Anchor's yield reserve doesn't last forever. You have some sort of revenue stream that can then come back to like pay employees or pay for, you know, artists or something or whatever, or pay out yield on your coin. So I think the significant portion, in my view, should be Luna. And then you could do other things on Terra with those yields. Like, for example, let's say you have your AUST parked there and you're like, okay, what am I going to do with this yield? You could say, hey, look, I'm going to have a system whereby, okay, whichever one is down the most, you know, Mars token, Astroport, whatever, any of the like blue chip protocols out there, I'm going to get more of them when the yield is down, right? That's an option you could take, is basically take the contrarian view and buy what's cheap, not what's pumping. Because if you're an investor, your goal is not to sell these things. Your goal is to stake them and earn yield off of them. Then, like anything that earns yield, especially when it earns yield in the native token, you want exponentially more of it as it drops in value. And the reason for that is because you're actually paid out in the actual primary token. And this only works as long as those are things that go up in value. So if I believe Astroport and Mars are good projects, or Prism, you know, earning, holding the primary tokens of those protocols, if their tokenomics makes sense, then that could be a worthwhile sort of general strategy. So I would stick with probably as a DAO, the blue chip protocols and the people that are building stuff that are useful, and look at the tokenomics, the inflationary situation. The other things that are coming to Terra that are super interesting, you guys know, of course, that there's going to be like a bonded Avalanche coming very soon. There's going to be a bonded Atom more than likely. Those are really interesting in that the yield is actually paid out usually in kind, meaning like if I own Atom and I stake it and I get the 15% APY, I'm getting that paid in Atom. But on Terra, the difference is the bonded assets are probably going to be paid in UST, which is really cool because then you could basically hold that UST. So for example, let's say Atom is like, I think it's $27 right now. Let's say it's pumping out UST yield, right? You could hold that UST yield and like deploy it at times when the market's down and grab things for cheap, right? Or buy Atom when it's cheaper while it's down because its yield is like not proportional to its value. Its yield is proportional to how many Atom you have. So the math on these can vary depending on which coin you're talking about. But we're about to get a lot of good stuff on Terra where we can really diversify our yield sources and then redirect those things into different sort of risk profiles, if you want to call it that. So yeah, there's a lot of fun stuff.
Let me jump in real quick. And then I've got to go real quick, but I'll share a little bit about some like an alternative portfolio, whereas one, yours is primarily say the Apex asset Luna. Another potential portfolio on the other extreme is going full UST, right? And then going back to taking advantage of Kinetic, where you deposit, you know, essentially you hold everything, your initial portfolio is all UST, and then you take out a maximum loan. And then now with this maximum loan, you can go a little bit degen, right? You can go after like those contrarian bets that Seffy was talking about. You can, you know, go for shit coins if the DAO wants to potentially get like quick 100x or something like that. And then the other thing that you could do with that is also, you know, keep an eye on all these yield tokens, right? So at Prism, we're going to be splitting up a bunch of yield tokens. We've started with Luna, but, you know, we're also doing LP tokens. We're going to end up doing all the B assets like BETH, the new AVAX token, and all the other B assets that Anchor will support, and a bunch of other cool stuff in the future as well. But essentially allows you to use this loan to speculate and buy these components up for just a fraction of the cost, and you're getting the same amount of yield as the entire part, right? So like say like one Y Luna, you can get the full yield that Luna gives you, but paying only say like 75% of it. And the best thing about this strategy is that like if you make bad calls, it's okay because your initial principal is all still there. It's all still, you know, in Anchor working to pay off this loan that, you know, you've been kind of playing with and going a bit degen on. And like the worst case is like, you lose the entire loan amount and you have to wait like, you know, 18 months or whatever for the loan to pay itself back. And then you guys can start again with whatever you want to do and try again.
Yeah, I think like, 18 months in our world is a long time, but we definitely there. We have the ability to borrow, and I think that we can play with that. Maybe not to max, but deploy it and go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I do say quite frequently, which is kind of what excites me about a lot of the space. Like, yeah, we have a lot of these protocols coming out, like Nebula, everything else. But you ultimately, when you have one coming out, you have another one that kind of uses that for something else. And one thing I say frequently is there's going to be things coming available in the next couple of months that we haven't even conceived of to be possible today. And I mean, we're just getting started with a lot of these. Like, you have protocols using other protocols and then protocols using those and kind of bundling them together and adding leverage on top. Like, the possibilities are endless and it's chaotic and it's impossible to keep up with as one or two people. So that's kind of why I love the whole fact that, yeah, there's going to be a lot of people contributing like their ideas or thoughts as to what to do with this. You kind of spread that brain power. You get a lot of people. Like, I sit in our Discord all day and I learn new things from everybody constantly. And with the amount of time I spend in crypto, like I find I could spend 10 hours a day and still I'm behind. Like, and I think that's the same for everybody here. It just, it's endless and it's awesome. And that's what I love.
Think about it also, exactly what you've said in terms of time. Think of time horizon very carefully. Like, what, over what period of time does this need to make approximately how much? Where am I going to be upset if it doesn't reach, you know, a certain level? Am I going to have a problem if our valuation is down in terms of our treasury? These are all important considerations for sure in terms of deciding like allocation of various risk and time horizons. It's a tricky thing. Like, there's no perfect way to do it. But yeah, like Jimmy said, like there are parts of it that you might want to be like full degen, but you would only want to do that with a very specific set of strategies. And I think a lot of people, they go degen, but then they have no idea what they're doing. Like, I'm pretty sure that's the case. That's the reason why the Luna B Luna arb is as wide as it gets. So someone's either doing that on purpose or someone's an idiot. I'm not sure which one. But you don't want to sort of whittle away and lose funds. So my general tactic, if I was more of a DAO, is number one, how not to lose anything, ideally, is my general kind of concept. And if I can build upon that and take the growth at, you know, like if you've got house money, right, you've made this as yield, taking that and going full degen with it with smaller plays makes perfect sense, right? Because then if you get 100x high stake stark ratio growth, you know, and your goal is to take your $100,000, you know, pool and over a period of time, you know, make that $1 million pool or whatever, you could probably do that over a course of several years. Reasonably successfully in the crypto space if you kind of have like targeted bets that make sense, right? Like I've posted numerous examples of in Prism how like I've almost doubled my probably quadrupled my position in the crap I have within Prism within a course of like a month. So obviously now it's all house money. I could make all sorts of mistakes and it makes no difference anymore what happens, right? So like that's kind of the funny thing. Like, you just had to pick the right strategies.
and have a cohesive method behind it. And I think it's doable. Anyway,
I'm going to interject here. I know that Jimmy's got to go, but we still got Ryan, the lion here. and also we've got a few people up here, but I just want to say, Jimmy, thank you so much for being up to hosting the space with us. And to Prism Protocol, we appreciate you. This matters. There's a lot of people here who benefited enormously from this conversation. So thank you so much. But I do want to be respectful with your time. I know that you got to leave. And I know that we got a couple speakers up here. So I just want to say welcome to the anarchy. And I'm sure we'll be able to have more conversations with you in the near future.
Yeah, I'll just say welcome from Solana. The Terra community welcomes you. And I think the really cool thing about this community is that, you know, we're all rallied behind one singular cause. Other than, you know, P Luna DAO and Y Luna DAO fighting each other all the time. Otherwise, you know, we're all behind Luna, behind the use cases for UST. And yeah, welcome. And it's been a pleasure. Steffi and Ryan, I'll see you guys later.
Love you, Jimmy.
Yeah, take care. Bye.
Yeah. You kind of inspired me to go full degen on Kinetic right now. That was actually an awesome idea. I didn't even think about that one. I'm going to have to do so.
We got.
Hey, is my microphone here?
Pardon?
Oh, sorry. You guys promoted me to speaker a second ago, and my sound on my phone just completely died. So I had to leave and rejoin.
And
yeah, you're good. No problem. You're good now.
Cool. Sorry about that. So just a couple of things that you guys have mentioned. First off, with in terms of NFTs that do or don't generate returns, using intentionally vague language there, that's, you know, obviously something that we're very much having to face those legal and compliance hurdles as well, going over Terra Firma. So it is something that we've had to go through a lot of that with. And yeah, just an example would be the deep dive that we just released. There's literally instances where we had to put a disclaimer on the disclaimer to further disclaim. So it is something that that the securities rules are quite tight about. And it is vital to make sure that every point, both for the initial purchases and those who are engaging in the resale, that you're continuing to make it clear that they're purchasing with no expectation or guarantee of profit. And you essentially you need to continually emphasize the fact that you are buying this because you want exposure to it, not because you are expecting it to go up in value, not because you are expecting a specific return or yield. Obviously, the reality and the logic of what is and why you're going into it, you know, we'll let people connect the dots on. But yeah, publicly, the DAO, the group, must be very consistent in that language of saying, hey, look, we are not guaranteeing a damn cent. If the holders of this collection may choose to do stuff, here is how, you know, we see that it could theoretically pan out, you know, based on the kinds of votes that we would expect that you know, people may want to make. But again, it's using that very vague language that the people who hold these NFTs can vote to do things, and that might make returns, but that's up to you as the holders, not up to us as the ones who have made the NFT or that, you know, are the ones that actually trigger the actions. It's a much more hands-off kind of wording, and
there's sort of an element of like how do you describe in the language who actually controls the actual wallet involved, and that ownership of who has that, I think, is a major factor. Like, what happens if the person that owns that wallet, something happens to them? Or, like, you know, you have to keep those issues in mind as well, separate from these, when it comes to like creating some kind of organization around a wallet.
Yeah. How do I share a link? I've seen like other links and stuff, and I've got no idea how to do that.
Do Do you got it on your page? If you tell me where it is, I can probably help you pin it. You know the little box with the arrow at on top? I can pin it.
I don't know.
Where you got
it'll
it?
It'll be one of the. Where do you got it's on my Twitter feed. I think it's one of my pinned things. The one that's on mine has got like a dancing alligator talking about, yay, my deep dive is finally launched. Yeah, not trying to shill the what it is that it's talking about, but it's in there. we've had to go through compliance on the wording of this deep dive quite a lot. So I was sort of more meaning from like the perspective of the examples of the kind of loose and soft wording that might be a useful reference point there. So like not so much talking about what it is that the NFTs are about, but in the way that like you'll see that I've had to be very careful in terms of what can happen and that sort of wording that could be quite a useful reference point on how to describe it.
We really appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you. I'm gonna put a little bookmark here on my end so that I can take a look at that. And that's exactly why, you know, we have to kind of tread this line. And, you know, with some people, you know, the perspective might be, well, what am I going to get out of this DAO? And then we know what's going to happen. We understand that it might be like, okay, well, you know, what's going to happen with the DAO? I'd like to see what that roadmap looks like. But that's actually what the DAO protects is because it's decentralized, it's autonomous, it separates the team and the team's interests from the communities where, I mean, us as holders, which we don't have very much reserved after like giveaways and everything. Each one of us is going to get one anarchist. We have never even planned really, to take really much of anything. But we would be members of the community as well. And it's really important to, like you said, have that wording. So we've done that very intentionally. And there are a lot of NFT collections that are very cavalier in their wording.
I would point out to you that it's less of a security if the members of anarchists also happens to buy the NFT as opposed to being given it. Right, like in the
I wasn't even aware I was being given one. I was buying 10 of them on launch day.
But you get my point.
That's what I'm saying. We never actually even talked about, are we getting an anarchist? Like, we know the treasury is. I don't know.
Yeah, those treasury ones are for giveaways. I'm buying all of my own. I like that.
There you go.
I think that's the gambler in me. I like the random mints just to see what comes.
Yeah, because this happened with Terraform Labs as an example. Like a substantial portion of the coins were set aside, you know, as TFL funds, which we all know is a pretty sizable, chunk of Luna in and of itself. It's not listed in the circulating supply, but it sort of can emerge into circulating supply anytime TFL feels like it. So if you look at securities laws, at least in the United States, then the Luna coin would basically be considered a security in that context. The only way that it wouldn't be is if TFL burned the entire stash of their Luna, which they're trying to just sort of get rid of it, actually is what they're trying to do right now. They're trying to turn it to BTC, give it to the foundation, blah, 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 right? You all have followed this whole concept. But basically how would they have avoided this? When nobody cared what Luna was, when it was worth a fraction of a penny or something, then had they just simply outright paid cash for it on the open market, they would not have had any issues with being called a security, even if later on it goes up in value. It doesn't matter at that point. You see the difference? So that's how you could leverage, you could basically create a position of safety for yourselves, is essentially that nobody got like sort of free nobody kept any of the NFTs for themselves that are part of this sort of like initial sale. It's all open market only, and that solves 90% of your problem right there.
Yeah, I don't even think we put ourselves on the whitelist. Like, I don't know if you did, but
I don't think we did.
So yeah, I'm buying into public mint. I don't even get it early. So, but yeah, no, I do plan on buying them. And like, I mean, my Twitter account, like I do have deployed in UST. Like that's more so my public wallet. I do have another significant wallet that I keep generally private. But yeah, that wallet's going to be holding my public mints anyway. So it's going to be pretty visible, and I probably will be giving some away personally to some friends. And but yeah, no, like
yeah, if you guys keep some for giveaways that you have actually purchased on the open market, then you can say no, these are mine, I'm just giving them out as gifts to people. But if the DAO or whatever keeps some, then now you have like the possibility that the DAO could sell them in theory, right, in the open market later at a higher value, which then again securitizes them. You see the problem? It's like if you look at Chainlink, for example, or XRP and whatever, like these are coins where a substantial portion is held by the original, like the origin fund, and that's where it becomes a security problem. Anyway, some food for thought for you guys to kind of avoid there's problems.
Yeah, it's definitely very interesting.
All these nuances.
I will mention, just in terms of avoiding some of the security risks, is what we're basically termed as intentional faffery, where you actually need to devise specific manual processes that people have to go through to get their yield, to get their returns. Because one of the other things is that essentially if the making of the money is too passive, that can also become a security that way as well. So you've got multiple different ways in which your NFT risks being a security. It's what does the NFT represent ownership of? How is it going to benefit the holders? And then is the way in which it's benefiting those holders a way that is also a security in itself? So having a requirement that people do either vote on governance or that they do some sort of manual on-chain process for something is enough to constitute as giant air quotes here, work, is another important process where you need to make sure that as long as it's not seen as just an entirely, hey, look, I just bought a punk, or I just bought an anarchist. CBF doing any of this governance voting thing, I just want to sit there and get free stuff. That's where you could end up in some hot water, where you need them to actually go through and do some sort of at least semi-regular thing. It doesn't have to be a lot, because obviously don't want to piss people off and be a pain in the ass, but there is at least some amount of thing that they might have to like spend a minute or so every couple of months to do some sort of required process and effort to be getting those benefits.
A good corollary to that would be look at what you do on Prism to get your amps boost, right? You go and push a button, and it's kind of funny, you go push a button to some confetti, and then you get more amps on Prism, and that benefits your Yluna. That would be a similar concept, almost like if you have a way to actually do that, like, you know, that's a more complicated process. But if you had a way to actually build in some sort of participation activity that maybe boosts your portion of the yield or something like that, or that's how you claim your yield, that could be kind of interesting.
Write that down. We need some confetti.
the confetti is obviously a vital part of the compliance process.
Yeah.
I think another thing
passes the Howey test too, if you have confetti.
As another thing to consider too, and I mean, we live in a world, we live in this global market, and we think of big companies like Facebook, for example. We think that's an American company. They're actually Irish. You know, they set up their headquarters technically in Ireland in order to be able to take advantage of certain tax benefits there. I think that also when it comes to these whether it's a protocol or these NFT collections, we kind of have to think global as well, that maybe having, being incorporated or something in the US is not necessarily to the advantage of the company, and one big thing, that we kind of discussed with moving forward is really consulting people to look at options as to where we should set up essentially the company, just to make sure that we are in places that are going to be more friendly in regards to crypto. And I feel like it's just this kind of world where we need to take these kinds of things in consideration. So these are serious conversations that we've had as a team. I'm really glad that there's people here listening to kind of understand where we're coming from and really where we see things going and how much care and we're taking in moving forward, because we do see a very big future. But you have to get to this place where you're really thinking global, because things could potentially get a little bit hostile in the US, but I mean, we have yet to see. But honestly, if there's another place that it's more advantageous, then that's, I think, where we should probably consider setting up, you know, just legally.
Yeah, that's something that we've also had to go through with our model. I think that we have at the moment about 12 entities for our full compliance model. So the our series token and the Terra Firma NFTs end up going will be through the company Series Ventures Incorporated, which is based in Panama. So that's useful in terms of being able to provide what it is that we're providing. But the thing with securities rules is it's not just about where you can sell them, it's about where you can buy them. And it doesn't matter if your DAO is incorporated on Mars, if what you're selling is classed as a security, it restricts who can buy them. And that means that, you know, that the people who are in the US still won't be able to buy them, even though no one can necessarily come after you in that jurisdiction for, no, you're not allowed to sell these, but they can stop you from selling them to your client base. So that's one of the other things to sort of keep in mind there, is that where you're incorporated, what your entity structure is, and how that's all set up is incredibly important. And there are some amazing legal teams that work within the Terra ecosystem that have been a massive help to us in you know, our project kind of seems like it's a compliance project that then does some crypto stuff.
we might have to connect and maybe get a few names off of you once we get through this mint, because that is something that we've thought about, and it's true, we need to look at this holistically, you know, from absolutely both the buyer and the founder perspective.
Yeah, and we've kind of got a number of the hurdles that you've mentioned there, where our NFTs, you know, subject to what a DAO may vote for, they could theoretically either hyper-compound their value, or they may deliver a yield, which in that sort of situation could be paid in something like series tokens. There's a fun little bit of wordplay for you. And then you've also got the series tokens themselves that are intended to actually yield in the currency that they actually, that you know, that the protocol makes money, which is in dollars or UST. So the series tokens themselves yield in UST. And that's being able to make sure that we're able to go through this process and not have you know, certain regulatory bodies come after us with a stick, is where you have to have how your incorporation is done, how your international structuring is done, how you word expectations, again, being very clear on those NFTs about that, the no expectation of profit and yield, being very loose and gentle in a lot of the wording, and then needing to have those processes of manual faffery that people have to go through to actually still constitute as work to not run into that situation. So like, and then on ours, as the NFTs are representing fractionalized exposure to real world real estate, as I said, lots of compliance. You know, we have to also be very careful on the way that the exposure mechanism works as well, to make sure that that's not a security. So where when you're talking about an NFT collection that has what's functionally a POA, so protocol owned or a collection owned assets, it also comes down to what sort of assets that it's got there. So where you could where you need to be careful is as far as, say, if the DAO wants to invest in the seed round of blah, blah project. But that new project, because it's in its initial seed rounds, it's still classed as a security, which is why, you know, when you go through and you're investing in an early stage project, you've got to go through with your token sale agreements and all of that sort of stuff, where, you know, often with a degree of KYC and et cetera, because at that stage of the project, it's still classed as a security, which is, you know, normal. You have to be careful on exactly how you structure that so that you don't basically get labeled as an investment DAO, and that can attract additional regulatory heat that you need to be quite careful on. So there is a couple of ways to handle that. I'm going to be careful on what I say on that one publicly. There is certainly parts of that predicament that we're having to keep in mind and consider for how we do everything that we're doing. And again, it's also understanding the difference between what you're able to say and how candidly you can speak in a public setting versus what you're allowed to say in private discussions, because one is seen as publicly advertising something, which again, depending on how you word it, could be seen as advertising a security versus what I'm doing because I'm busy.
Exactly. I mean, that's the thing, is really we do want to give the that's when we were doing all of this, you know, there are some collections that don't even form a DAO. I'm thinking of a few right now that I won't mention that just make certain promises, but at the end of the day, we do have a lot of faith in our community, and we would be very careful in sort of the proposals that we're putting up, but we do trust our community to with these conversations to really put all those things into consideration. Do you have anything to kind of say to, I know we went over an hour here, and I just also want to be respectful of people's
Yeah,
time.
I was going to pop in to say, I do got to get going in a minute. My battery's almost low and people are calling me over something else freaking out, but it was really good to hear a lot of this. It does sound like we went down the right direction and kind of how we initially started wording this and kind of explaining it. It does sound like, there's this is an ever-changing landscape, right? There's always going to be a lot more to keep up with how the world evolves around this stuff. But it is kind of good to hear that it sounds like we're generally on the right plan. I do like the idea of having to almost put some work element into it to help avoid that even further. So I'm definitely going to put some considerations together as to how we can handle that. That was really good. And Psych, we'll talk later regarding that as well a little bit further to see what else we can do to help with that.
Yeah, if you guys want some feedback and such and just a bit of a rundown on some of the things that we've had to do with our compliance hurdles with the Series token and the Terraform NFTs, let me know. I'd love to catch up and have a bit of a talk share the many, many, many fun things.
And we appreciate that the community always is willing to help each other and have some of these conversations, which, you know, sometimes they can get really sexy. We've gone over some crazy strategies here, but then there's also, we need to also talk about things like compliance.
To consider too, guys, is you can get really into sort of a wide range of tactics and thinking if you can just use an Anon account to have these discussions as well. I wouldn't mind if you're just trying to like gather information, but not necessarily project that, a team is considering a specific thing or implying anything. Right. So,
Yeah.
These are all hypothetical talks, of course.
Allegedly
hypothetical.
Exploratory. Yeah.
This is all a theoretical DAO of who knows who.
We're here talking about trying to make it super compliant, right? Like, I see nothing wrong with the conversations we're having. We all ultimately want the same thing. I mean, I could definitely see, like, if we were all a super anonymous team and we were talking, like, with these very vague wordings, like, if I saw a project like that, I'd be like, yeah, like, that looks kind of shady. But it is really good to see that a lot of people acknowledge and kind of see why we have to go down this route. I mean, it's a good for everybody, and it's unfortunate just the way it is, but I mean, the world is rapidly changing, and
Who knows? Like, who knows where we're going to be in 6 months and a year from now? Maybe NFTs are car keys, right? Like, and everybody has them. Everybody uses them. We'll see. I do. Unfortunately, got to get going. Like, I think my even Twitter bio says serial Twitter rambler. Like, I can go forever. not as much as Steffi, of course, but I'm still
Steffi's the king. For
he's a robot. I don't think he's real. He claims he works and he's on Spaces all day at once. Yeah.
Well, I want to thank Steffi and Prism again, and we got Ryan in here. Capricious, thank you so much for coming up and bringing that alpha. We got Terra Spaces here, who's recording. We got PB representing from Luart. We're going to be minting on the 21st at 4 p.m. UTC for a whitelist, which apparently none of our team is on, and 7 p.m. UTC for public mint. We've got 50% of supply for whitelist, 50% of supply for public, so we're trying to be super fair with everybody. But we can carry on these conversations in the Discord. Don't be a stranger. And everybody, welcome to the anarchy.
Good luck, guys. It's been cool chatting with you.
Yeah, and, I'm going to jump on your face on Monday, Steffi. Sounds like you have a lot going on Monday, so I'll be joining that to listen in as well.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what's happening. All right.
Bye, guys.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the Anarchist Prism Protocol CeFi AMA, The Future of DeFi, recorded on Thursday, March 17th, 2022. This episode of The Ether was brought to you by Luart. Luart is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. Luart provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the community in the Discord server for the most up-to-date news and announcements regarding all the hot new NFT launches, platform upgrades, and new projects hitting the secondary marketplace. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at luart.io. This episode of The Ether was also brought to you by WeFund. WeFund is a community crowdfunding cross-chain incubator on Terra, and it's the first launchpad that implements a milestone funding release system to protect investors. All money raised for projects is deposited in Anchor Protocol, and it's refundable, and all decisions are based on community voting power. WeFund is community-focused and designed to be a user-friendly experience for both project creators and investors. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the Telegram for more information. Links are in the show notes and check them out online at WeFund.app. This episode of The Ether was also brought to you by Glow Yield. Glow Yield is the ecosystem of Terra decentralized apps like Lotto and Creators, all powered by DeFi Yields. Glow Creators helps artists and influencers give their fans exclusive perks through membership, NFTs, and more. Glow Lotto is a PrizeLink savings account with a weekly chance to win the big jackpot. Tickets are free and perpetual, which means there's zero chance to lose money. Be sure to follow Glow Yield on Twitter and join the Discord community to stay up to date with all the glowing projects and check them out online at glowyield.com. Terra Spaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening.
Mutation. It is the key to our evolution. It has enabled us to evolve from a single-celled organism into the dominant species on the planet. This process is slow, normally taking thousands and thousands of years. But every few hundred millennia, evolution leaps forward.
Diving through the forest, looking for the door to the portal. Settle, take me down a corridor. I'm ignoring the warning, storing importance. The core looks sourced from ancient coordinates. Smells like musty mutants, trust me. I've been hunting bugs since the leaves started rustling. I must be getting close, yo, the scene is disgusting. Parasitic mutation, leeching off the country. Grab a couple samples and defy their custody. Feeding gamma rays to the beast at peak velocity. Mutating awesomely, pre-sato wannabe. Taking all the scraps and feed them to the lottery. Always evolving to defy the possibly. These are the things that will scream irresponsibly. Feeling uneasy, these genes get them off of me. I don't mean to trip, but am I mutating properly? We are the mutants. We are the mutants. We are the mutants. We are the mutants. Unlock the lab, it's time to do this. Breathing getting heavy, I can feel it in my arms, but I can't stop now.
Mutation
is an art form, don't be alarmed if you see me looking odd when I'm out on the farm. Spinning crop circles in your yard, reaching the stars, need a way to get across. Got this little
mutation,
lets me hack key cards. Scene looking like it came out the first three saws. Flexing like Rex when I mutate the precog. Leaders trying to research this genetic seesaw. Give me all the science and we'll leave you with the pre-slaw. Writers believe they bleed these endorsements, turning scientists into terrorist supporters. Gotta seize the spoils and release the spores. It's time to forage through DNA lore. So sink it or swim, silly Alice, take the pill and see we're all mad here, taking over your facility. We are the mutants. We are the mutants. We are the mutants. We are the mutants. Unlock the lab, it's time to do this. We are the mutants. We are the mutants. We are the mutants. Unlock the lab, it's time to do this.
Terror spaces.